Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, it's Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I hope all is well with you and in your world. We've got a great show today, so let's get into it. My guest today started a web design business in high school and grew it into a digital agency with clients around the world. In this conversation, we're going to dive into how he went from charging $300 to $30,000 for designing and developing websites. Then we get into how to find the few things that actually matter in your business, as well as moving from freelancer to entrepreneur. Now, let's hack Joe Kasherba. Are you ready to grow your audience and increase conversions with automated emails that feel personal to your subscribers? Marketing automation, it can be hard to wrap your brain around, but with ConvertKit, it's easy. ConvertKit is email marketing features created for creators. ConvertKit, their features were built by creators for creators, so they know, because they've been in your shoes, what it takes to grow a successful online business. Plus, they're going to help you get there. You've heard a ton about marketing automation. You've heard a ton about ConvertKit. Now's the time to try, because you're going to get 1 month absolutely free if you go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/convert. Any plan that you wish, you get 30 days absolutely free by starting today at hacktheentrepreneur.com/convert. Now, before we get into this conversation, talking to Joe about becoming a web designer, web developer, let's talk about your website. Hey, let's talk about my website. If you visited Hack the Entrepreneur recently or any time throughout the last 4 years, you know that it's the center of my presence for the podcast and for myself. It's changed many times the way it looks, but one thing has stayed consistent, is that I use WordPress.com because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, share my work, and share my way. Make your site your own when you build it on WordPress.com. You don't need to do the coding or design. I don't do that stuff. I don't know how to. WordPress provides all the tools you need to get your site up and running. Plus, if you do get stuck, their customer support team is there 24/7 to help. That's Monday through Friday and on the weekends. Plans start at just $4 a month and include a custom domain so you can get your site name exactly the way that you want it. Remember, nearly 30% of every single website on the internet runs on WordPress. Yours should too. Get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to wordpress.com/hack to create your website. That's wordpress.com/hack for 15% off a brand new website. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure, man. Absolutely my pleasure. We've had this scheduled for quite some time, and I'm glad we're getting to sit down. So let's roll with it, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Joe, you are, I'm going to say you're a man that wears many hats, but today we're talking to Joe, the entrepreneur. So Joe, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think probably the biggest thing is not giving up. What's the same with so many other entrepreneurs is that I have probably a longer list of things that have failed and things that haven't worked than I have a list of things that have succeeded. But because I kept going, I ended up with that list of a few things that succeeded.
Nice. I like that. I mean, really the only difference between, I think, somebody who succeeds and fails completely is the one who just gives up after some failures rather than continuing on until you finally get that success. Have you found that like your ratio to successes to non has improved, or do you just do more stuff?
I think at the beginning when I was starting out, you know, I started out in entrepreneurship when I was in high school. I think for a long time, my ratio was zero, basically that 100% of everything I tried was a failure. So as I've learned more about business and marketing and those kinds of things, I think that has improved somewhat. But it still really is that you got to try a lot of things. I mean, I think even when we do marketing, when we do Facebook ads, for instance, I feel like people have this idea that you can get good enough at marketing that every Facebook ad you create is going to work. But what I've learned is that what works on Facebook, for instance, is to create all kinds of different ads and test all kinds of different things to find those few things that work. So it still is a lot of failures for a few successes, but I think that's the way the game works.
Fair enough. And starting in high school, what did you start in high school, first of all?
I started a web design business in high school.
Okay. And then so you sort of muddled with that, didn't find many customers, and then went to college, I believe?
Yeah. So I had that business, you know, I started in high school, and then it was something I did on the side in college. So I had a few web design projects here and there in college, but didn't turn into much. And then throughout college, there were various startup companies that I was involved in or trying to start or, you know, whatnot.
Fair enough. Did you take business in school?
I didn't. I did information science and computer science.
Oh, okay.
So I was on the programming side of, you know, actually building software products and things like that.
And then you graduate college. There's this sort of split in the road where, do I go get a job? I have a great sort of, I mean, you have a very marketable sort of skill in computer science this day and age, or do I continue on and try and grow this business?
Yeah, so what happened was I had a startup company that I was really excited with towards the end of college, and it basically, during graduation week and finals week is when I sort of fell apart and I basically ran out of money. And so I had this idea that startup was going to be my main thing after college. So I never applied for any jobs or anything like that. So I graduated with no job lined up, no startup company, and basically just moved back in with my parents. And the only thing I had was that I'd been doing some freelance web design on the side.
And then you decided that should be the way that you go, living with your parents and pushing your web design business?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I think I was, from a very, very young age, an unemployable entrepreneur. So I never even, like, getting a job was never even one of the possibilities that entered my mind. But yeah, basically, since that startup didn't work, it seemed like the only thing I could do to actually make some money was this freelance web design business. So sort of out of probably desperation more than anything, I just decided to focus on that because that was the one thing that was kind of working to make some money every once in a while.
Were your parents supportive?
They actually were. I was very lucky to have very supportive parents who had both had businesses at different times and that kind of thing. So I was very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, because otherwise I think it'd be hard to move back in after college to your parents and then be like, I'm not getting a job. I'm starting this business. If they hadn't sort of ran that course themselves at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this point, though, how were you acquiring customers?
At that point in time, when I moved back in with my parents, it was only by word of mouth and repeat business. And I had a couple relationships where maybe there's a web design business that had some extra work every once in a while they'd send over to me. So I really had no marketing or anything like that going at that point.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was going to say. So you were kind of like the technician, as we say, doing the work, but not thinking about actually the business as a marketing sort of engine.
Correct. I was not, I mean, I was at that point in time, I was very much just a freelancer that was just sort of doing whatever sort of taking advantage of whatever opportunity sort of appeared. And in a lot of cases, I was just billing hourly, and it very much was not a business at that point so much as me doing freelance work.
So what happened? What caused the change?
Yeah, what caused the change was that wasn't working, you know?
Fair enough.
You know, in college, I felt kind of cool because I had this freelance business and I was making money. And like, compared to everybody else in college, I was making some money. But then when I got out into the real world, I really wasn't. And so I just basically started trying things. And again, most of what I tried failed. I tried everything from running ads in the newspaper to cold calling. I think I got about 5 cold calls in before I gave up on that. And eventually I started learning more about business and marketing. I read The E-Myth, started thinking about my business as actually a system or a real business. I started learning about marketing. And the big breakthrough came when I sort of had the realization that if I wanted to get clients consistently, I needed to do marketing consistently, and that the marketing just had to be something that was happening in my business all the time. It wasn't just every once in a while doing some kind of a marketing thing. So the thing that started working was reaching out to people directly, basically unpaid marketing, where at first it was going on places like Elance, which is now Upwork, and just every morning spending a couple hours sending out proposals on Elance. And that started to work and get to the point where there was a consistently bringing in clients that way. And then it switched to direct email, where I was just emailing people who seemed like they might be a good fit for what I was offering. But the key breakthrough was just realizing that had to be something consistent, where every day in the morning, the first thing I did was I sent out a bunch of messages, and marketing was always happening in the business.
And I guess that you can't just build it and people will come and knock on your door and ask you for work.
Exactly.
So with Elance, I mean, Upwork's a huge thing. I was on Upwork this morning hiring somebody to do some editing work for my videos. And there's tons of people on there making like decent livings as freelancers. And it's a huge marketplace of people like me just going on looking for, rather than I don't Google it and look for people's websites anymore. I go there. Would you, Joe, if you were starting out again today in that same situation and just discovering that you need to actively do this, would you go back to Upwork and sort of get your start there?
I think it depends. It depends what you want to build. At that point in time, I just wanted cash. You know, I just wanted some money, and I didn't care if it was hourly, if the projects were pretty low dollar or anything like that. So it worked well. So if you're somebody that just needs to make the income and you want to be a freelancer, I think the Upwork thing can work really well. These days, and back then, I sort of started to make this transition pretty quickly. I want to actually have a business where, you know, I'm not a freelancer that's doing hourly work. I'm doing projects at a higher dollar value and things like that. So that's why I had to transition to direct email and some other marketing strategies, because I wanted to make that transition sort of from freelancer to a real agency owner, business owner kind of model. So it depends on what your needs are and what you're really looking to build.
It's a struggle for lots of people, especially like we start out as freelancers typically doing that. And it's true, we do need to make the money, right? To pay the rent, pay the mortgage, whatever it is. But sometimes you, especially if you're not charging enough, you get stuck in that cycle where you're just so busy working, trying to get the work done, that you can't actually step back and sort of think of things sort of bigger picture. That's which is you like that. I mean, scaling from 10x, I mean, that takes being able to at some point step back and see that bigger picture.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people in that situation. I work with a lot of freelancers and small agencies that are in that situation where they're not making the money that they want, but they also are so busy because they're charging so little. So that's definitely a big challenge.
Can you just raise rates? Is it that easy?
In a lot of cases, it is. And that's a good thing to try. You know, I had a situation in college where at that point in time, I was charging maybe $700 for a website. And it was finals week. And I literally just didn't have the time to do a website. And somebody called me up. And so I just came up with a crazy price just so they wouldn't buy because I didn't have the time. I said $1,800. And they ended up buying. And so I was like almost tripling what I was charging, and they didn't blink. So there are a lot of instances where people could probably double or triple their prices and would be no problem. So you definitely do want to experiment with, you know, what if you try a higher price next person that you talk to or that kind of thing, because you may be surprised how much you could charge. But I think the other piece of it, it's a matter of switching from thinking of yourself as a freelancer that's just doing work to actually thinking of yourself as a business and coming up with a business model of here's what I'm offering, here's what I'm charging, and switching from sort of hourly, sort of charging hourly or pricing projects out hourly like a laborer to being a business that actually offers a productized service at a higher price. So that transition is what you really want to get to, but raising prices is a good thing to try as a first option.
So it's not just raising your price that sort of moves you from freelancer to entrepreneur.
No, I think it's about the switch in thinking from, I often think that freelancers have a mentality that I call sometimes a hunter-gatherer mentality. So it's basically like you're just going out and seeing what you can find, you know, what opportunity you can find. And if somebody wants you to design a PowerPoint, that's great. If they want you to design a logo, that's great. You're just hunting for opportunities, right?
Right. Which, I mean, is a cool skill set to have, obviously, because I think that's what breaks lots of people out of just getting a paycheck, right? Is having that. And then, as you're saying, then to step beyond that, like using that as a stepping stone to entrepreneurship rather than using that as the end game.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that I realized, I don't know if you've ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
I have.
You know, he talks about the different quadrants. You could be an employee, you can be a self-employed person, you could be a business owner, you could be an investor. And I think that, you know, one of the things he's always trying to get across is that those quadrants, the thinking and sort of the laws of physics in those different quadrants is different. And I think that's what I have to realize with this whole freelancer, agency, business owner kind of thing, that the difference between a freelancer and somebody that has an agency that makes, you know, multiple six figures or seven figures or eight figures is not just a matter of more clients and charging more. It's actually a shift in thinking.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It is that sort of mindset. I think that's the only way to get to that point is to have that sort of shift. So how does this, or where does this put you today, Joe, and how you are acquiring customers now?
Yeah, so one thing is I never assume I'm just going to get a client by, you know, by word of mouth or repeat business or anything like that. That's great if I do, but I never assume it. And I always consider myself responsible for going out and getting the clients via some sort of marketing. So in our business now, we do a lot of AdWords and we do a lot of Facebook advertising, and we still do direct email, just reaching out to people who are a perfect fit via email. And we actually are thinking about doing some direct mail. We've done some of that in the past. But every day in the business, marketing is happening to bring new leads in, get new consultations scheduled, and get new clients in.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And so you currently have two businesses running?
Yeah, I have the digital agency, which is that freelance business turned into this digital agency. And then I also have another business where I basically help freelancers, mostly freelance web designers or WordPress developers, make that transition from freelance to having an agency and sort of converting over to sort of thinking like a business owner.
And how are you dividing your time up between the two?
It's about 50-50 now. You know, basically with the digital agency, I got to the point where we had project managers in place that were managing individual projects. And so I had some extra time available. And being an entrepreneurial person, I would always have some other endeavor I was starting if I had any free time.
Yeah, I guess that's right? What happens.
So it's about 50-50 now.
And do you sort of like theme out your days where like Monday and Tuesdays for this, or is it kind of just whatever comes across your desk?
I think that whatever comes across your desk probably is not the best strategy.
No, but it could be the strategy that
but
you're
it could
using.
Be, it could be the strategy. No, absolutely. I think usually it's a matter of priorities. Like there are certain, usually it's week by week. So there are certain just day-to-day kind of operational things that have to be done every day. But usually I'll block out a whole week for some project in either of the businesses, like maybe coming up with a new training program or a new webinar or something, and basically spend the whole week on that. And then for the other business, just do the things that need to be done. And then maybe the next week there's a project in the other business. So really it's a matter of what big projects need to be focused on.
What a great segue into projects. So you are getting ready to, or previous to spending a full week on a new project, Joe, and whatever that, if that's a new marketing project or a new product you want to offer or service, what is the process that you go through? And you said if you had more time, you would start all these things. That's how I think lots of us are. So there's lots of ideas. There's lots of things that probably come through your email as ideas. But what is the process you go through to decide that a project is worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources?
That's a really good question. Because, yeah, it is definitely, it's definitely gotten to the point where there's just too many ideas and too many opportunities to possibly take advantage of. I guess in terms of a methodology or way of thinking about it, I'm always looking at what has the, what's the phrase? There was a phrase I saw recently that was, I know what it was. It was the few, what's the fewest number of, the fewest number of battles you need, would need to win the war. And I forget where I got that, but it was, so I'm always looking at, okay, so we have our goals for the year. We have our 90-day goals. And what project is most likely to be that one battle that would win us the war? And if you think about it like that, you usually come up with something like, well, if that new product works, or that new webinar works, or that new thing that we're doing works, that'll get us there. So that's the one thing we need to focus on right now.
I like that. So the fewest number of battles. So in that sense, though, it's not necessarily just what's the smallest project we can complete this week. It's sort of also, as you said, fitting into like maybe a yearly goal and also maybe a 90-day goal to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, and I think that's, I think where I've had the most problem with productivity, or when I've gotten sidetracked, is when I forget about those yearly goals and those 90-day goals. Because there's really only, you can really only do a few things, and there's probably only a few things that you actually have to get right to get to those goals. So, and those goals are always the sort of the barometer of should we do it or not. If the success of that project doesn't get us to that goal, or doesn't get us closer to that goal, or isn't the next thing to get us moving in that direction, then why would we do them? So I'm always looking for those few things that actually matter, because most things don't. The reality is that most of the things that you could spend your time on don't really matter in terms of getting you towards your goals. And there are a few things that really matter a lot. And just like Covey says in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, most of those things are probably not the urgent ones that sort of are forcing you to get them done. It's a matter of the things that you have to be the one responsible for blocking out the time and making them happen.
Yeah, looking for the few things that actually matter. I like that. I mean, that pushes you with the projects. And so you keep mentioning these goals. Are you someone that actually writes down these goals, or do you just have them sort of floating in your head and you kind of know where you want to go?
No, I write them down and review them every day. So I have a spreadsheet with yearly goals for each area of my life. And then those are broken down into 90-day goals. And then in some instances, 60 and 30-day goals, if that seems to make sense. But I have that as in a spreadsheet that I review every morning, along with affirmations and along with sort of like a vision board of where I'm trying to go.
Nice. With this and with sort of the projects, you say you like to sort of chunk it into like a week. Does this idea of putting it into a week make it, I guess, more, less sort of amorphous and more like finite, where the fact that you can't end up spending 6 months on something without really testing it and then finding out that that's a complete waste of time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's the, you know, we keep coming back to this thing of testing and how a lot of things don't work. And yeah, so I'm always looking for how can we, okay, we have this idea. That idea might be, that might be really successful. It might get us to the yearly goal. How can we get that in a week? Can we actually test that? Because if we don't want to spend 6 months on it, because a lot of times it doesn't work. So that's absolutely the case.
So rather than talking about you, let's switch it to you sort of as the coach or the consultant and sitting down with a new freelancer or a new agency who might be listening. How is it that they can 10x their business? Like, in, I don't mean like detailed, obviously you don't know, but like in the simplest sense, do they just have to do 10 times more work, or do they have to do something different?
They have to think differently and do something different. And somebody once told me this, and it really resonated with me when I understood it. They said, it's easier to 10x your business than it is to 2x your business. And that's because 2xing your business, or adding a little bit to your business, usually means grinding more. doing more of what you're currently doing. But 10xing your business is about a shift in thinking. And oftentimes if you have the right shift in thinking, it doesn't have to take that much actual work and more grinding to get you to 10x. So I'll just sort of give you an example of how this could look. So say you have somebody, they're a freelancer, they're doing hourly work. Maybe they're making $2,000 a month doing sort of hourly work, doing hourly web design work. If I sit down with them and say, okay, we need to actually figure out who your ideal clients are and then actually put together a productized offering that is exactly what those ideal clients need. So maybe that person realizes, you know, I love working with restaurants and I just love going in and taking the photos at the restaurant and making these beautiful restaurant websites, but they're usually getting paid hourly and not getting paid much to do this. And they have a bunch of freelance kind of clients making $2,000 a month. Well, now we know the ideal clients are restaurants, and what we're providing for them is beautiful photography, beautiful websites and everything. So then what we do is we put together a web design package for a high-end restaurant that includes beautiful custom photos and this beautifully custom designed website and a branding package and all this stuff. And we put together this beautiful package and it's $10,000. And I personally know restaurants that have paid $20,000 or $30,000 for their website and branding. So that's totally reasonable. Then we go and we start marketing. We start reaching out via email to restaurants that would be a perfect fit for those services, to local restaurant groups that are always starting restaurants. And now we start landing a couple of these $10,000 projects. Now that freelancer that was making $2,000 a month as a freelancer just doing some hourly stuff, if they can just land two $10,000 projects in a month, they're doing $20,000 a month and they've 10x'd their business, and they're probably not doing that much work because it's just two projects.
I like it. So it's ideal clients. You have to pin that down, then create this sort of productized offer or like a highly targeted offer for that perfect customer, and then do targeted outreach to them?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly those things. Who exactly are you offering? Who's your ideal client? What are you offering to them? And it's about creating a productized offering that's what they need rather than, and present it as something that gives them everything that they need, as opposed to presenting yourself as sort of a worker that can do stuff on an hourly basis. And then finding a marketing strategy so that you can get in front of those people consistently.
Right. That's awesome. So just to be clear to everyone listening, a productized service is, rather than just being sort of a la carte with whatever everybody needs all the time, if your ideal client, as Joe said, is restaurants, and say it's a specific, like an Italian restaurant, you would create this perfect package that most of your ideal clients want anyways. And it's either you take this package or this package. There's no like, well, we can change and do all this because that takes too much time. And it causes the whole process to get more difficult and usually actually drives down your price a lot of the times. Just to make that clear to everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you go to the grocery store and you can buy lettuce, you know, unwashed whole heads of lettuce and, you know, unclean carrots and stuff like that for very, very cheap. But then you have to assemble it all together and there's just not a lot of value there. Or you can go to the prepared food place in the grocery store and pay $10 for a really nice salad that's all put together and prepared and has the dressing and it's ready to go. And they're able to charge a lot more for that salad because it's packaged up into something that's really valuable instead of the raw ingredients, which is what most freelancers are offering.
Nice. That's the analogy I've always needed. I've always tried to put it in as like, this business is doing it. And then people are like, I've never heard of that business. But the salad analogy, there it is. We've all been to a grocery store.
Yeah.
We all want that fancy salad, but sometimes it's just too much. We want too much damn money for it. All right, Joe, this has been an absolute blast, man. I do want to wrap up on one final question if we could. Mm-hmm. This idea I'm working with, it's calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, as you can probably relate to, we're always projecting our personal successes into the future. So it seems like no matter what we really accomplish and from the outside how successful we might look, to us it's always in 3 months when you hit that goal or in 6 months when you hit that other metric that you're aiming for. You and I both know that seconds before you hit that, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future. And it's like you've never quite got to where you're trying to go. So I agree that we need to be pushing forward most of the time. But right now, I would love it if you would stop, turn around, and look behind you just for a couple minutes. Look at the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses all the way from high school till now. Just tell me how you feel about this journey until this point.
That's interesting. I feel like it's been an awesome journey, that all of the wins and successes have been worth all of the difficulty. And mostly I just feel like I've really enjoyed the whole game of trying to make things work and trying to make things happen. And I don't know, it's been awesome.
Nice. It's a great answer. Great answer. All right, Joe, we've talked about the businesses in passing. Could you now specifically tell the listener what you're offering at your joekasherpa.com and also over at the web design and marketing agency?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're somebody who is a freelancer or is looking to, as a small agency, is looking to grow, looking to 10X your business and transition to some of these productized services and actually get marketing in place that works on a consistent basis, you can go to joekasherpa.com. We have a 90-minute webinar that we do periodically that you can check out over there, and a lot of good information in that webinar. It walks through that whole process we talked about in detail. And on the other side, if you are somebody that would be interested in done-for-you services, that whether those would be done-for-you web design or done-for-you marketing services, you can go to kasherbawebdesign.com and get in touch with us that way and go from there.
Excellent. I will link to both those in the show notes for you, as well as Joe. He hangs out a bit over at LinkedIn, so if you want to follow up with them or just connect with them there, you can, as well as the E-Myth book we talked about by Michael Gerber. And Michael was on the show about a year ago. I'm going to dig that up for you as well.
Oh, cool.
And then Elance we talked about, but it's now Upwork. I will link to that if you need to get out there and hire, or if you are looking to sort of break into this freelancing thing. You can go there. Just remember, as Joe said, don't spend too much time there. Try and back off and start scaling up your business if you can. All right, man. It's been an absolute blast. I thank you so much for stopping by, for sharing so openly with us. And just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome to watch.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That was a lot of fun. And I have a full page worth of notes here that I took during the conversation, because there was many things that Joe said that sort of caught my ear, if you will. So I'm really looking forward to this part of the show. This is the part where we get to go back. We get to go back and we get to find that one thing that Joe said. You ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
The big breakthrough came when I sort of had the realization that if I wanted to get clients consistently, I needed to do marketing consistently. And that the marketing just had to be something that was happening in my business all the time. It wasn't just every once in a while doing some kind of a marketing thing.
And that's the hack. Joe. I like this a lot. This was sort of the big breakthrough. This is part of the transformation from freelancer to entrepreneur. This is looking at the big picture in the way that you are not just focusing on the work or the task at hand, but you are setting up a pipeline, as we call it, to have a consistent flow of clients and customers coming through your door at all times. Right? So for Joe, this was having that breakthrough and realizing that marketing had to take place and then finding paths to finding those consistent customers, not just sort of hoping that a customer will refer you or hoping that you meet somebody when you're having out for coffee or whatever it may be. It's creating these systems, right? And these systems and these processes, whether they're written or not, need to exist and need to be something that you focus a set percentage or part of your week or your month to doing. These are hard things to do at first because you're so busy doing the work, but you need to do this in order to create more work and more consistent work so that then you can put people in place to do the other stuff that is what you're calling now the real work. The real work as the entrepreneur is building and growing that business rather than doing the work that the business does. The business, from your perspective, is a marketing business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is, we're all in the business of marketing to keep clients and customers and products flowing through us. Joe, thank you so very much. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. It's the website. Head over there. Get onto the email list. There's some really cool stuff coming down the pipe, and you're going to really dig it. I have this feeling. So Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever it is you are listening right now, ratings and reviews, please, absolutely, absolutely appreciated. They help so much. Ratings and reviews. All right, that's all for me this week. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope that you come back for the next episode and join me again. But until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.